Let's talk about your career in the arts a little bit. What's your education? Where did you get your start?
Well, I actually went to St. Cloud State for 9 months. A friend of mine from high school came home for the summer from college, and he had gone to the Art Institute of Chicago, and he was telling me how great it was and all that, and that I should go. And well, I went. 2 months later, I got on a Greyhound bus and moved to a Puerto Rican neighborhood in Chicago.
And was it great?
Oh yeah, it was great. And I went to the Art Institute of Chicago. It was great. Learned all sorts of stuff. Had a good time. Met my husband in Chicago and all that. And then in 1986, we moved to Minneapolis. In Chicago, I started working at a bindery. When I graduated, I thought, what am I going to do with an art degree? Like every art major wonders. And I looked at the job board and didn't say what the job was, but you had to know how to read a ruler.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And well, I can do some math too, but some aptitude for numbers, I guess, is required to be a bookbinder. So
Sure.
then I was a bookbinder after that. For a long, long time, 20 years, I bound books for all sorts of people.
Did you just decide sometime during the last 20 years that you wanted to produce your own art? When did that happen?
Well, that came about in an indirect sort of way. I moved up to Grand Rapids like 9 years ago, and I met some people, and we had a little art group called the Unruly Press, and we produced two pieces, the second piece being a tarot deck, and I think that it was a very successful project. And it got me involved in the role of the publisher, the artist, rather than the binder, which is more of a craftsman position. And I guess I got the bug to, make my own artwork following that.
So is that how this current projects, do you
Yeah.
think this came out of
Prof
that? Profits
Profits
and
and Revolutionaries is directly related to that project. I don't really have much interest in tarot cards per se, so much as tarot cards filling this function. You bring two arbitrary ideas together and they suggest some sort of way of doing something or way of seeing something. And I think that's very interesting. So I decided what I thought would be a interesting way to present that is through historical revolutionary characters.
So you're making a tarot deck that involves historical characters. Okay. How did you pick the people?
Well, I guess I just picked people who I found interesting and people, and I'd show, the pieces I was working on, and people would make suggestions as to like people they found interesting, and I'd read about them and decide, if or if they were worthy.
Are these all people that you revere, or
Oh,
do
no, they're not people I revere. No. It's just it's a maybe the piece Prophets and Revolutionaries, is a commentary on leadership and, its arbitrariness and timing and, the elements that lead to success or revolution or
good or bad?
change, yeah, good or bad. It's no comment on things being good or bad. It's just about doing, maybe. It's all, getting things done. Do I revere them? No, I don't revere them, but I certainly admire all of them. They might be like bad people, horrible leaders, but I might admire a particular trait that ultimately led them to a poor conclusion, but they followed their heart, I suppose, or something like that.
So you said that a lot of these characters came out of things that you were reading. What are you reading now?
I'm reading a biography of the Mitford sisters. One of the daughters knew both Hitler and Churchill, was Churchill's niece.
Are they prophets and revolutionaries or
Are they prophets and revolutionaries? Oh,
and
gosh, in
or?
the same, they are, Neville Chamberlain is one of my prophets and revolutionaries, and he was the Prime Minister of England before Winston Churchill, and he is an utter failure. I think he's considered to be an utter failure. And hindsight is 20/20. He didn't know that Hitler was going to be such a demon. And
But a lot of people saw that coming.
did a lot of people see it coming? I mean, I think that people were willing to appease Hitler, and Germany.
So Chamberlain would exemplify a failed prophet,
Yeah.
in a prophet inverted, or
No, just a failed prophet.
a failed prophet.
Yeah, I mean, some prophets.
Some profits are lost, or
some sort of profits aren't your kind of profits. Maybe, you know, certainly not all profits are my profits.
Yeah. If you could relate this project to somebody else's work, does it come close to anything else? What relates to it? You know,
I mean, well, I think
in the art
world, relates to Guernica. Picasso's Guernica in it, and its horror over, you know, military achievement, personal freedom. I think that, you know, it has a similar, my work has a political flavor to it, without a doubt.
It is a political piece, then.
Almost all my work is political. There's only two pieces in the show that aren't political, and they're two pieces that I made for friends, and they're about my friends, and they're not about my politics. You know, everything else is pretty much about my politics, you know, I guess, you know. If everything is about my politics, there's a lot of Catholic imagery in it, and I wouldn't say it's Christian imagery, I'd say it's Catholic imagery. I have the ultimate respect for those images.
So which drives you more? Is it politics, or is it religion? Or
well, you know, ethics, morality,
do you feel,
versus politics. It's all the same, isn't it? You know, politics and religion are the same. The backdrop for all of Prophets and Revolutionaries, the material, for the most part, that it comes from is from encyclopedias. I have many sets of encyclopedias, of which I've gone through them page by page, and I cut out all the pages that have interesting graphics on it. I wouldn't cut a page out because it was an interesting subject. It's only if it had like a little graphic on it, you know, that I looked at and thought, oh, that's nice, you know. Would I like cut it out and save it to mull over in the future? So I think that is a key to looking at my work is, you know, everything that's in the background is very important to the piece. I mean, if it has little tiny writing reflects something about what I'm trying to say about the character.
So is it the image or the content of the background, or is it both?
Well, you know, it depends what it is. Could be both, could be either, you know. I mean, one might, you know, make you think of some part of the content in a different way. The coupling might make you think, you know. I think they're very satirical in a lot of ways. A lot of them are filled with satire. Well, so, you know, my process would be more like I'm going through. So of these images that I like, there's photographs, and I might like photographs of particular people. If I think it's like a remarkable photograph, an interesting photograph of a person, I might like bother to read what they have to say about the person to see if he's like, you know, a revolutionary. Although, of course, he made it in an encyclopedia, so he probably is. But,
Like Haile Selassie, that was one
came
directly
yes.
out of the.
Yeah.
Maybe
never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
His real name was Ross, R-A-S, Tafarian. How many of us know that? It's like I learned that. That was worth it in itself, you know. But he was a noble man. Haile Selassie was a very noble man, or Ross Tafarian, whatever his name is, was a very noble man. He was a king. A prince, a king and a prince, and he was supposedly a descendant of Queen Sheba and David, and from those tribes. So he turned his monarchy over to the government and made it a democracy. And I admire him for that. I admire him
That's
for his
largesse. That's a revolutionary.
Yes, yeah, well, you know, of a different sort. I might be more tempted to say he's a prophet as opposed to a revolutionary. It's a fine line between the two. One person's prophet is another person's revolutionary.